definitely.
Okay.
That happened all right. Before.
So, we got Chief Homick and Chief Junker here with us. Chief Homick was gone for a couple weeks at some PTO, so just want to catch up on some things, which I sent you an email on last week, Matt. So, I know Scott has headed up Safety Township in the past couple of years. Where are we at this year going forward?
So while I was off, we had some brief email discussions as far as what we were going to be able to do between our staff and our administration on the fireside. Everybody wanted to try to push forward with it. So we had a meeting this past week after my return to kind of lay things out because we're basically at ground step one. You know, we have to come up with the program, the curriculum, everything that was done. So we're looking at the end of July of putting.
Back up. So why would we not just have a curriculum that we follow every year? Is it changed from year to year? Or?
Well, Scott created a curriculum that he had used for the year, where he had basically three topics, which was kind of different from what Deputy Chief George had when he was doing it all those years before that. But we don't have curriculum from what Scott had.
Or what
Mike had. Mike had a bunch of outside presenters. He had a couple of the elementary school teachers that were assisting and all that. So we're patterning it off of that kind of program that Deputy Chief George had created long ago, where we had the electric little Tikes cars to use for the Safety Township. So we went over, we kind of brainstormed an idea about top topic, the 4 days with graduating basically being the 550, and our fire station tour, fire safety day to occupy that. So within our staff members and some family members of our staff members that are teachers, we're trying to put everything together as far as the list of the topics for the 4 days and to make assignments out to contact some of the organizations like the Metro Parks, like a local dental practice, which is, they came and talked about, you know, dental health and brushing and flossing, Safe Kids Coalition for the bike helmets and a bike rodeo type day, over for bike safety. We want to get the railroad or something involved, the Lucas County Sheriff's Department or law enforcement involved for the stranger danger and some other things that they do, and then our fire safety day. So we have a meeting scheduled tomorrow to sit down and analyze the list and the program for the week-long session for it. But we're targeting towards the end of July. We're looking at the week of the 21st as the potential first choice and the 28th as the second choice. I spoke with the community center. We would be good to go to get a couple of rooms over there for that week. And then I talked with the school because we had previously Deputy Chief George did it through the school. It is a potential option, although they said that it's almost immediately upon end of school year at the elementary or the primary school, they're planning a major renovation work of removing a roof and installing a new roof. So they weren't quite sure how complicated that would be in July at that time frame with all the construction and about having the kids coming in and out and the parents coming in. So basically that's what we're looking at. We're looking at pretty much the three class setup. We're looking at one 3-hour session in the morning for the week, and then there would be three classes that the kids would rotate through. We're planning about 10 kids per subgroup, so a total of about 30 kids. That's definitely where we were looking to max out last year with Scott, but he didn't have anywhere near that total in the afternoon and the morning session, and his initial plan this year was going to be for just a single session. So we're meeting again tomorrow afternoon to put down the topic ideas and start making some assignments of contacting some of these outside presenters and agencies so that we can get everything together. The goal is, it was about mid-April when we put out for registration last year, so we're still trying to target that so that we can get that out.
Yeah, and Kathleen's got a few vaults of people on going for.
Yeah, we've had a few throughout the year of people asking about it. That was kind of what prompted discussion, I guess, when I was off at the staff meeting about what we needed to do.
Who's leading the efforts over on the other side of the house?
Well, we met with the union president, Jay Jehoviak. He had talked with most of the people on shift over there, and they were pushing for that. So we have several people that wish to be involved in it on both the full-time and the part-time side of it.
I mean, that would be my suggest you get a committee of guys on that side of the house or crew on that side of the house, not necessarily guys, like people.
That's what we're working towards, pretty much, like I said, to pick. Once we finalize our curriculum, like what programs we want to do each of the days, then we need to try to contact some of the organizations to make arrangements to see if they have either a presenter that can come out and help or materials that they can provide to us to do, you know, the Metro Parks on, like, the animal safety, that type of thing. We'll do a water safety, swimming safety, bike, the railroads, and then bring back the safety township day of drive cars on the roads and practicing crosswalks, school bus. We're going to talk to the school about getting the school bus driver to come out for school bus safety and to address some of those things. So.
Okay. All right. Since people make plans and everything for the summer and things like that, the sooner we can nail those dates down and, you know, start promoting it through social media or on our sign up front, or I don't know what our next monitor is to go out about.
Nope, we will. Yeah. We will definitely be getting it out as soon as we can. And like I said, as long as we've found the topics and the date, I think we're ready that we can start pushing the registrations out and see how we go for that.
Okay. Next thing I had in the email, we, you know, the maintenance crews demolished the fire pits out back, and we had some initial discussions on a storage building. Is that something we still think we need?
At this point, we made a lot of room with getting rid of some of the vehicles that we didn't use nor were racing, the tender, the old ambulances and such, and then a lot of the surplus equipment. So we're back to having space out there now. I'm not sure that we really need to concentrate on that storage building now. It would be a nice concept if we could get that storage building / training building that we initially had talked about and work on that for some point. But, I mean, right now I think if we have money that's aside for renovations and type of thing, I think we need to concentrate on updating that side of the building to needs of the changing in the staffing and stuff, so that we can do that.
But there's nothing on this side that's we need, quote unquote, it's a necessity. That's not surplus equipment that, hey, we need to store it out there.
No, the only thing, I mean, that we'll have is once the repairs are finished, where we have the 96 Sabre, that'll become our reserve unit, so that we'll maintain the three ambulances, the ladder truck, the engine, the brush truck, the boat, and our utility, and then we'll have the reserve engine so that if either the engine 91 or the truck goes down for service, we have a vehicle to put in its place, because we need to maintain two pumping apparatus, one typically that we keep in the township and one that's available to go out on the mutual aid auto aid responses.
Okay. So I'm going to remove that then from the projects list.
And, I mean, we've struggled with that on probably 15 different companies that we call. A bunch of them were metal build, but they were the pole barn style on the inside, so they were wood framing. most of them had something either that they sprayed on the wood or metal coverings that they put over the wood to help last. But the two or three ones that we found that were all steel buildings for that size, I don't know why we've had such a difficult time over the year, last year and this year, of getting them to call us back or getting them to answer emails. You know, at the end of last year, we both kind of had a line on two different companies and supposed to be working on things. And end of the year came, and we stopped hearing from them. I reached out to one company I did all one time, left a message and a couple emails to them, and I have yet to receive a return from them.
Okay.
So we've been struggling with that. I mean, moving forward,
Well, if it's not something, if we don't think it's an immediate need or a need within the next 2 years, we'll just scratch it.
Yeah, I think right now we would be okay with it. I mean, like I said, I would be interested in exploring, you know, the option that we had talked about initially where we were going to make it a storage building, but I'll have some level, some training, like an upper level where we could do some search training and elevated training for the ladders and the roof stuff that we could utilize. That would be a double bang for our buck, I guess, in seeing that. But as of right now,
well, that sounds like it'd be a custom building, and that might probably be some of the challenges you ran into. And I think,
well, I mean, we early on we changed and just went to what your direction was, to just do basically the 48x48 building that was tall enough to store the fire engine. So
I do have one quick question that you're asking these questions. You talk about the renovation. I sent, I think, Harold and you two an email of who was doing Springfield's renovation. Has anybody touched base with them?
I have not yet. While I was off, I did not. I did. We did meet with Midwest Contracting prior to my time off. And then he came out. We talked about what we wanted to do, what we wanted to accomplish. He looked through the area over there, was going to work on getting things. We let him know that Buer Group had the plans that we had given them originally.
So nobody touched on the email that I sent a couple of
I have not
I,
since I've been back,
yeah.
But I will I will plan to this week, week, give him
and
all
if they're doing fire stations and Springfield hired him, I just thought it would be a good avenue for us to look into. Because number two, and I'm not being mean, but you got to put your pen on the desk because... I'm sorry, it's my OCD.
You're
going like this. So put your pen on the desk. I'm sorry.
She trained Chuck already.
I know, I trained Chuck. He hasn't. So the clicking,
that
is driving me nuts. I already told Chuck and I grabbed his pen and put it down.
Okay, but,
but
no, I will follow up.
Okay.
I can give him a call.
Don't
you
guys care.
Everybody think.
Didn't I train Chuck? We passed on it, really.
Yeah.
So the second thing is I know we've talked, and I know it's very expensive. We're talking... renovation on that side of the thing, and I've mentioned before there's a person in Maumee that sells the drop things for the exhaust, because I'm just telling you, when I go out there and we've got the table set up on the conference room out into the bay area, and if the truck had been run at all, the fan's not doing it anymore, and I know it's very expensive, but it's something that really needs to be hooked into for a central vacuum thing for the vehicles that are sitting in there, because with having the other part of the fire station renovated, they're still using that big conference table right outside in that area out there. And I know you said, too, about the space-wise, things like that, but I was signing checks last night, so I actually skipped in. There's like 10 of those little trucks, you know, that they use for Safety City. So they have brought all the trucks and everything over here to make sure they run. So it just seems like it's still a lot of space being taken up out in that part of the building. So I know you said to scratch the garage thing. I'm going to use, Chuck says, I'm going to use Trudy's. It never gets cheaper. That's Chuck's line when he comes.
It doesn't ever get cheap. It should stay on our list, right? A comprehensive fire plan. And I was thinking, I think Gavin suggested it, that the four of us take a tour, like in working session. Maybe next time we get up and we walk down there and see it all together.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kitchen. This is the stove. This is what we purchased last year.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where people sleep.
I've been over there a few times, yeah.
Just, yeah. I was thinking the conversation that might occur might lead to a comprehensive thought on this, right? Because
and I'm bringing it up again, and Trudy beating it all the time, but I'm going to say 2 years ago May, I wrote right on my it started 2 years ago May on the renovation over there, and Gavin's had the budget in the budget now 2 or 3 years about the renovation, and I just don't know why it doesn't move forward.
I have no issue like not determining what's over there, but helping push it along. Like, I understand construction.
I know.
I get people to call back.
I know.
And
that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's
been
2 years.
If you want me to go over there and help, it just seems like, and it might help. So budgetarily, and then have an idea, because I know, you know, you want to have plans down at the other building.
Yeah.
But if we don't have to rent this side for sleeping because things work over there and you can double use that, like...
Well, then I guess what we need to do is make a decision about the annex building, say, okay, the annex building's going
to
go here.
I think you make a decision on how this building's going to be used to say if you have to do something at the annex building.
Well, I agree. Right. But what I'm saying, again, you can't even walk through that training room over there because of the treadmills and the weight stuff and the tables and everything else. And it's been 2 years.
How would you take a lead on it, Gavin?
I mean, you speak and you say, what's your commitment? And I go in and then I help and say, okay, I can talk with contractors. Like that's what I do. Like, we used to have a trustee here whose job was to be an attorney, and he would always say, but I don't want to practice attorney stuff.
Right.
Like, it is, like, I do construction projects. I have no problem. Not, like I said, I'm not saying what needs to be there, but if the fire says this is what we want, but we don't know how to get the contractor to work. Like, mm-hmm. To have someone not call you back for a year on a 48x48 building is crazy. Like,
well, it hasn't been a year. I'm just saying that we've had several conversations with some of these.
So I'm just
the garage
saying,
has been a year.
But
renovation's been 2 years.
But I'm saying, it's what I do. I don't mind doing my skills.
We haven't had a renovation plan or project. We met with the contractor that you sent over, and he came over, looked, we spent time with him, and then he fell through.
Right.
We met with that architect originally, Mullen Wheatman, and their conceptual plan and drawings was way too expensive. So then we've been trying to piecemeal this together. So we met with another contractor, Midwest, at the end of February, beginning of March, before I was off. We met with them, came, he did. They're the contractor that did a lot of work in the fire stations for the architects. They did most of the work in Oregon, I guess, the fire station, and some of the other ones in the area here. So we met with him, talked with him. He came out. He was working with the Bureau Group to get the plans so that he had the plans and specifications of the building over there. And I followed up with him while I was off. He told me that it wasn't until the 13th of March that they got everything from the Bureau Group. So they had all that stuff. They were working on it. I gave him tonight's date that I was hoping to get something to give you guys for the meeting. And he was working to try to do that.
He's a Monclova resident. I know that. The guy who owns Midwest Contracting. He lives right over here because he's the one we sent over, got an estimate for the church, for the annex building, for anything asbestos. So.
Yeah, one of our firefighters, her husband, works with one of the guys over there as a contractor, and you know, so that's where we're at. I'm waiting to get the initial thing back from him and Midwest. It wasn't the owner. We met with one of the project managers. Jarek was his name. So you know where we're at with that. That's the most we can do. We know what we put over there, but we just know from the contractors, you know, what's going to cost us, what it's going to take in order to do that.
Well, I guess just a thought to get that off of your plate. How about, you know, meeting with Gavin, all the transitioning of that, and have him bird dog it with the contractor, say okay, and keep it within the budgetary concerns that we budget, and say hey, you know.
But that's one of the issues. We don't have a budget set. We don't have an amount. We don't have other than the amount that's there for renovations. But that was never said that
the 500,000.
We have up to 5,000 to spend for this.
It's in the budget, right?
You guys have put forward gonna look to do this or do what with it? And that was part of the initial problems with when we wanted to meet with.
I'm great with letting Gavin take the lead on this.
Well, you know, my initial thought is. You know, first of all, we got people sleeping on cots. We got people sleeping in chairs.
We have beds for everyone. Yeah. Everyone is in a bed.
Okay. But are there cubicles? I haven't been over there in a month, but are the cubicles still in the training room?
Mm-hmm. There's two beds in the men's dorm room. There's two beds in the female dorm room. There's two beds behind the cubicles in the sitting room, and one in officers' fire office quarters. So there's a total of 7 beds over there, separated into the different areas. We don't have enough cubicles to make 7 separate bedrooms or space to do that. Right. That's what we're trying to get to, is to those spaces in there.
Is that what the Midwest working towards them on?
Midwest, their first and main goal was to look at the space that's in that training room area there and converting that all into the individualized bedrooms. And then we talked about reusing some of the other space to make the locker rooms bigger so that we can add more lockers, because we don't have enough locker space for all of our employees in both the male and the female sections. And then expanding some of the other areas, you know, so moving some of the walls a little bit to make a big convention space, make a bigger day room space for the space, so at least so that.
Right. So you've done the work of the fire department. You've done the heavy lift of what we need, how we need it, et cetera, et cetera. Let the guy who specializes in this not only talk to Midwest, but get another quote so we can meet. We know, because though we might not have said, we're willing to spend $10 million on this, when you get the quotes in, you get an idea, and then we can figure it out. So I don't want to put any restrictions on us. I don't want to say $100,000 or $750 or $10 million. We want to see what the experts think about this. Maybe it's a really simple project, and Gavin's right. We don't need to move out of here, and we sell that building, and we become the extra building, which I don't want to do, Trudy. I'm just saying, you want facts when there isn't an opportunity for facts.
If we're going to recruit, maintain, we need to upgrade our facilities. Period. So how do we do that? We've been talking about it, as Trudy continued to remind us, for 2 years.
Correct. I just haven't been given the ability to do the things that we needed to do with that. So now we're trying to get there with that. So we have, I think, a solid start with Midwest to go there.
Okay. And I guess my question is, by you delegating that to others, is that help you? For somebody else?
I'm willing to work with anybody on that, but what we need to do as far as knowing what the budget is for that, yes, that's what we need. I need assistance from Gavin as far as goes on that. And
do you think you have enough input from the crews over there that Midwest is going to have a design that, you know, do we need individual bedrooms or bunk beds or? I mean,
that's what the crews were interested in, was individual bedrooms.
I know that was a goal.
Bigger space for locker rooms.
Yeah.
Bigger space for the kitchen area right now, because we have the kitchen area that's there with the table. Reconfiguring some of the cabinets that we don't need, because there's all the cabinets in there, and we don't even have the refrigerator in the same room as everything else, because it's in the pantry room. So we want to look at that. Obviously, there are some things that, you know, long-term phases that we need as far as, you know, changes into the apparatus bay, if we were looking to put space over there, or if we were looking to make changes over here to put, like, the weight room and that into this space, because all of that stuff was going to have to go somewhere once that gets converted into the bedroom space.
Were they looking at any accommodations as far as, like, the turnout gear and everything in the lab bay down there?
That we talked about as one of the phases that we would want to do, to look at that when we talked with the initial Mullen Wheatman, the architect, about how fire stations are designed now, having an enclosed room with its own ventilation system to help with the turnout gear so it's not exposed to the apparatus fumes, and has a better longevity. So we talked about getting the exhaust system that is generally part of the standards as far as the stations as well.
Yeah, and I think there's BWC workers' comp.
They have
grants for that.
They have a small portion of the firefighter safety grant they can get, but it's not nearly enough to cover those the cost of that.
Well, by what's the best way to get this moving forward? Yeah.
Just to back up on the exhaust system, the guy who sells everything lives right in Maumee. He does it all over the country. And the guy who installs them lives in Monclova Township down on Monclova Road.
I don't think I've ever gotten that information from
him. We've been talking about it, so I can give you guys. His name's Tom. He just showed me my picture. He did big port here on Huron's big fire station up there. He goes all over the country. Installer lives right here. So we'll make sure to get both.
I guess my thought, you know, if you know, Gavin's got some, you know, A, he knows what our budget is. It's what?
$500,000 this year.
But not necessarily we want to write a check for $500,000, but how can we expeditiously use that to get the best bang for our buck and to bird dog some of these contractors that we get a timely response? Knowing that, I mean, you've got 65 other things on your plate, you know, rather than be calling contractors. If you know, how do we bring this thing? If we had the conversation with Midwest, we've got some initial plans, how do we bring it to where they
Well, obviously, what we talked with the Midwest about was coming up with the ideas and then having them, whatever they could do, to come up with some preliminary information so that we could start building that project as far as if we had to do it in different phases or whatever. But that's what we're waiting for. We haven't signed off on anything, Midwest. We haven't hired them for anything. They came out, talked with us, and want to give us some ideas. So, I mean, that's where we're at with them. I mean, I'm willing to take whatever help we get. I'm not saying against having help. I'm just saying that we haven't had a project, you know, detailed out as to what we're going to do or what we wanted to accomplish. So that we're trying to find the priorities of what we need, the immediate space of changing for additional locker space, additional
right,
bedroom
we know
space.
That. You got it. Right.
When was the last time you guys had a committee meeting on it?
We don't necessarily have a committee for that.
So how are you getting ideas, to gather your ideas? Because I'll dispute that you say you haven't had a scope. Been in the budget for 2 years. So I'm not saying I want to be in charge of your project, of what goes where. I'm saying I am good at running a construction project. Like, If you set your meetings and you say, here's what it is and this is when it's there, not ask a guy, I have a meeting tonight, will you get me something? And then he doesn't get you something. That's just not a good look for them or for you, one of you. It isn't happening. You can say, I asked for it. He told me right then there's not a chance I would get it there. So then you know or not. It's all about communication.
Well, what he told me on the 13th, I let him know when we had the meeting coming up. And
I understand. I'm saying you don't have it.
But,
so there's
but
a breakdown.
I'm a customer of them yet. He's doing this because we haven't interacted with them for anything. I think that's part of the problem.
Do we need to get separate bids on this? Yeah,
I would like another bid on it.
You'd have to. Because
okay, right. So
over,
I'd like to see what your guy is doing.
So the way you approach it is you rough draft your own drawing.
Okay, right.
You have a blank slate, and mm-hmm. you say, this is what we're thinking.
Right.
And it's a lot easier from that point forward. And I just know how contractors work. If they're working with a government and you tell them what they want, mm-hmm. the number goes a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say, show me what you can do.
We had contractors when you redid your stuff in Toledo. You got a lot of contacts.
I have a huge project going in another place right now. There's a big difference between you telling them what you want and this is how it's being done, and then you saying it. That's why that last contractor that came in, or the last, you know, architect, gave us a bid for $100,000 and an architectural fee because he thought, I have a government on the line and I'm going to do a huge project for them. So that's what I'm saying. What are the priorities? Then you just pencil it in. Like, it's not an architectural drawing, but it's...
Right, and it sounds to me like Matt and the team have worked out the priorities.
Yeah.
They already know they want 7 bedrooms. They need a bigger fire room or kitchen. So they've got the priorities worked out.
More than 7 bedrooms because we're asking for...
I just use that number.
Right, space for future as well. But yes, we put that list to the different groups that we...
So I think Gavin needs a copy of that list. And then we need to let Gavin do some work and see if he can come up with something.
Well, Gavin and Matt, let's get together this week, and
we have a meeting scheduled at 2 on Thursday, and it was to go over some budgetary stuff, and we can just add this to our agenda.
Okay. Good. Yeah, let's.
But if you actually have a letter you sent to a contractor, all contractors, any list you sent, we should probably all see it, but definitely Gavin should see it.
Okay. Right, so that kind of.
I do have just one other. Is Midwest going to do it and then run the whole project?
From what he said when we met, that he wasn't necessarily thinking that we would need architect involvement, that it was something that their contracting, their people could do the things with that would suffice for that, because most of it was just on the interior too.
Right. So would he hire his own stuff, is what I'm saying.
I'm not sure how to work. They're a general contractor. Okay. So
Midwest
has them. They're a general contractor.
Be like Rudolph Libby.
Yeah. So we have, but anything over $75,000, we'd have to put out for bids.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we also need a second opinion on that too.
Yeah, the idea was to try to get some relative costs so that we knew where we were at to the ballpark.
That's what we need.
And then that's what we needed to go with to the next step, because we knew it's going to be more than the $75,000, so that we have to
do the process stuff. You think we have a plan in place by June 1st? 45 days?
No.
I'm looking towards you because you're the problem.
You can have an idea, but you're not going to have it 45 days from now.
No, I mean, like I said, hey, here's what we want, and we're ready to.
You can have a rough drawing in place. You're not going to. If you hire an architect today, you wouldn't have a plan in 45 days. That's just the reality of what it is. So that's what I mean. It's about having the right expectations and having a timeline laid out that is understood by everyone. And it's just updated and kept to your breast. The construction world is really hard right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, why don't you guys Thursday work that out?
Let's put it on our agenda. We'll talk about that.
And,
so.
Okay. Two questions on the truck out back. Is it plated and is it insured? Just want to make sure we're not violating. No, I want to make sure we're not violating our own zoning code by having a junk vehicle sitting on the property.
Well, I guess that's where we're still at. When we researched, it was on the township inventory.
Okay.
As far as my recollection went, that the association had always paid the insurance on that, so I can verify with them that they still have it insured. I don't know that it ever actually had plates on it.
Is township hold the title?
So the title is in the name of Monclova Township Firefighters.
So the association.
But it has the address, the old P.O. box here from the township itself. So my understanding was that it was association owned in the past.
That's what I always thought.
But when that last year when you gave us that, or Kathleen sent out that master list of inventory, it had the War of the France on there.
Well, two things. I want to make sure we're not violating our own zone by having a, lack of a better word, junk vehicle on our property, unplayed insured. And then if it is the association, it's sat out in the weather for 6 months. So obviously, if it's sat out in the weather for 6 months, it's not appreciating. It's only, if the association owns it, make a decision with it. If the township associations, if you're not going to, if it's $5,000, fix it, put on GovDeals next week, would be my recommendation. I mean, I know it's a nice to have. But
well, both the association and our side, we always wanted to get it fixed up to use it for the PR things that we have and the aspect that we have. But up until before COVID, it was running, and we used to take it out and drive it at least once every week or so around the park there. But
so it hasn't run for 5 years.
It hasn't run for quite some time, correct?
Yeah. I mean, is my motor tied up?
Even? No, I mean, when they checked it last, they said it wasn't tied up, but they obviously drained all the fuel and the oil out of it as well before taking it.
Clay, next 30 days to figure out a game plan to either get it fixed or get it out.
I know the association had been trying to find an indoor storage place for it.
Let's determine who owns it and make that official. The title gets titled correctly.
I would think the title would be.
Yeah, I don't.
The answer to that.
Right.
I mean, the association.
Monclova Township Firefighters sounds like Monclova Township to me.
The association has the title, so we can get that, what they have. I mean,
if it's theirs, if that just needs to get off this property.
Okay.
And then have you had a chance to look at, the staffing? I know with the call volume and everything else, how do we get our, 80% of our staffing where 80% of our calls are going to be?
So I was trying to work on a lot of those reports and statistics that Gavin wanted or had asked for after the last meeting while I was off. I got him the January and February information. We met and just briefly talked about that a little bit after my return as far as what the overlap looked like with runs and a little bit of it about what our staffing was with the five, and then briefly talking about what we have already talked about in here in a couple different working sessions with the staffing models that we were looking at back to August of last year when we were discussing how to move forward with the closing of the county EMS.
Well, I have a question. I'd like to probably put that off a little bit, Chuck, until Gavin sits down and they look at the budget and what's going on. Because I know you're always talking about virtual aid, who's staffing at night and things like this. But I don't know above budget, if we're hitting budget. I have no idea if we could be underwater.
So far, what he gave me that had January and February, we were looking okay. We were not over on anything for that. Obviously, we didn't have the first quarter basically done yet.
But we're kind of just shooting in the dark for staffing right now when we don't really have any financials of what's going on.
What I'm working on next for him was we had those budget sheets that we made that covered the position costs. That I'm getting those updated with, because since we made those back before the 2020 levy, we've had changes in wages as far as the part-time wages, as far as the contract being signed and then the new positions that we have. So I'm trying to get all that together so that we have that, so that we can look at what the better picture is moving forward for the rest of the year with the personnel costs.
Okay. Are we doing part-time? Because do you have a
recommendation for, do we need to schedule executive session after the meeting to discuss part-time salaries?
I would not be ready. You sent that over at 4 o'clock on Thursday.
We talked about it a month or whatever when we did the other raises that we would discuss.
Right, but that was...
So next meeting?
Been off. I'm working the budget numbers for the part-time pay raises with that. That's what we were meeting about on Thursday to talk about that.
Okay.
So I will be prepared by next meeting to give you numbers and a recommendation. So if we could schedule it for next meeting, that would be fine.
Great.
We'll also have a pretty good idea of what the staffing looks like and the budget impact that it's having, as we'll be, halfway through April. The changes that you gave Assistant Chief to make last meeting.
Okay. Good.
So do we need to put anything on the agenda?
We do have an executive session. Do have an economic development update I can share with you at the end during that. That'll 5 minutes probably.
Yeah, it'll probably be longer than that.
Oh, you have something too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Regarding economic development?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Is it 5:30?
Correspondence. We had a multiple, and I got inundated yesterday at pickleball about, I think it was 15-1. Keep it the course as is. So I know we had a number of emails, but I had a couple of phone calls, a couple of residents approach
me.
Yesterday.
We don't play pickleball, right, Barbara?
So, I don't know if Doug is still looking at maybe putting arborvitaes over there. Or, is, I haven't been over there. Is the fence up?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. He was getting, I believe he was getting pricing on arborvitaes.
Yeah. Costco doesn't have them in yet. I know usually there's some nice ones that are like $20 a piece. Last year they did. Anything else for the agenda?
Okay. I have one question. I don't know if it's agenda. Did we ever finish off the MOU that Jason guy from engineering told me that he was going to send something over on an email so the maintenance guys get started? Have you received anything, Harold?
Have not.
That's on the roundabout?
I will follow up tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah, there are weeds growing in my tulips.
It's really getting really nasty. I'm going to fill for the maintenance department here shortly.
Well, I'm not going to listen to anybody say we're tearing up the tulips because the weeds have outgrown it. We've had a year to get...
I got the email March 18, 2024 from the Lucas County Engineer's Office.
I will talk to Mr. Cisco tomorrow.
Got it. Sorry.